Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is the Brand Broadcast, and this is your boy, Ant.
This your other boy?
I don't like to call myself your boy.
You are my boy. Today is a very special day, and I want to, what?
You can't see you all the time.
And I want to wish my brother a happy birthday today. Oh, he almost spoiled it.
You know whose birthday today was?
I mean, yes, I know. 11, it's 12:05. You missed my birthday! You didn't say happy birthday to me the whole day. You wanted to wait, and that was the next day.
I was waiting for today, you know?
You was waiting for the 21st, and it's the wrong day.
Well, I just want to do something special for your birthday.
All right, what do you want to do?
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear James Jimbo Hoffman Jr. Happy birthday to you.
Oh man.
You like?
I appreciated that.
You did it again. Did you just live me?
I did.
On your real Facebook?
No, Snapchat.
Okay. Well, you're getting old, bro.
Man, you've been this age for a long time.
Only for a year.
How old are you?
28.
You're still older than me.
You're 27.
I know.
I've only been 27 for a year, I promise.
Well, I'm officially older than Kyle Gibbs again.
Yeah, he's a young boy.
For 2 months. So, I mean, I'll tell you what, though. God's blessed me. I don't feel a day older than 25.
And listen, everybody, I just want to warn y'all. Y'all do not have copyrights to me singing Happy Birthday.
So if I
listen to y'all podcasting, y'all got me at your intro music, we're going to have a problem.
I promise you. They're going to skip over that.
They're not going to skip over it. That was art.
What was it here? Oh, man.
That was art,
well, I'm glad nobody was on live to hear that.
No. They should have been.
You'd have probably woke up some kids or something.
Right? My wife is probably mad. He is not down there singing again.
How'd she sound?
She was not. He's not down there singing again. Look. Patting her braids.
Ooh, Audrey?
She ain't got a braids today.
She gonna watch this lady.
But, hey, listen. That's I'm not gonna go that deep.
What?
No, I'm not saying it. Not on live or no.
You don't want no proof of that?
No. But anyway. So, how's everybody doing? I want to, Jimbo's going to introduce us with the ways you can contact us.
Oh, you switching it up on me? Just a little bit. Man, well, I've never done this before, so I'll just wing it.
Okay, wing it.
So, we have our primary way of going on our Facebook group. It is Berea. Berea. You go on there, add us, join the group, add some friends. That's where we have the bulk of our conversations and interactions. We also have an email that's pretty dry right now. So if y'all want to contact us by email, ask us questions, this, that, and the third, book Anthony for some birthday parties, you can do that at thebrianbroadcast@gmail.com. We also have a semi-used Instagram page at thebrianbroadcast, right?
Yep.
We also have a Twitter handle at @BurianBroadcast. No, the. And we do not have anything else.
No. And if y'all want to know, he's the one who made the Twitter page. As you can tell, there's no @the. He just put Berean Broadcast.
Because it's taken or something.
Oh. Okay. Well,
there's a reason behind that.
Okay. You listen, you introduced very well. I like your performance. I like the way you're consistent with it. That should be your primary job from now on.
Primary? So I'm done?
No. That's just... Okay, we'll swap it out.
Hey, I don't mind doing it.
Nah, we're good. So, what's up, everybody?
How many times you said that?
Last week we did.
Hey, if someone could count how many times he says "what's up" or "hey, everybody," we'll donate 5 cents per everybody to your local charity.
He'll donate 5 cents. I'll be there to drop the money off.
You are cheap.
I'm not cheap. It's just I'm cheap.
Yo, you're gonna have that out all those little trail mix licks that you're doing right now. I can hear every one of them.
That's because I'm looking at the bowl right there. That's
making you hungry.
You don't let me eat.
And was trying to drink Pepsi and trail mix while doing this recording today. It was not going to work out too well.
I don't know how it would have worked out. I know my belly's grumbling over here because, you know, I starved myself all day today.
Why'd you do that?
Oh, it's just a new weight loss method.
Called what?
Burning fat. Hyper fat burner.
Hyper burning fat?
Yeah, it's something new that TD Jakes came out with.
Oh, man. Yeah. I got the 3-in-1 package.
What 3-in-1 package? You don't believe in no 3-in-1?
You believe in 3.
You don't believe in 3. You believe in 1.
Anyway, man. So, last week we kind of had a pretty good discussion about your experience of witnessing, right?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, man.
Well, yes, we had a real good discussion. We got to excuse the water here in the background. Remember, we are in the basement. You know, this is live. This is live stuff going on right now.
This is real.
You know, when we're in our penthouse, in our mansion, talk about biblical, strong, foundational subjects, and y'all hear like nothing in the background, y'all gonna miss this water heater. You know, that song that Drake did, started from the bottom, now we're here.
Right.
That was for us. He ain't never started from the bottom. He was always sort of like near the top. We started from the bottom, literally. Like, we're underground right now.
In the words of a popular rapper, we started from the basement, we're still in the basement.
For right now.
5 years later.
For right now. We getting out of the basement, surely. We did start in my dining room, but it was
Jimmy. That was with them cheap little white microphones.
Yeah, that we could never get to work. Yeah. We came a long way.
Remember? Only one of them worked.
No, the other worked. No, it was low.
No, because remember the USB or whatever wouldn't allow it to take more than one? And so it was picking me up on the other mic.
Oh, that's what it was doing. Yeah.
I was talking into a microphone for like 3 episodes. It wasn't even on.
No.
That's horrible.
Those were the good episodes, though.
That was when we didn't even know what to do.
No, we just winged it.
We talked for like 3 hours about nothing.
Yeah. No, we talked about stuff, you know. But we had games at the beginning.
Yeah.
Those were good. So anyway, last week we talked about witnessing, how to witness, different ways of witnesses witnessing in our lives.
We didn't get into how that.
Well, we will. Witnessing 102. That's the how.
That's the next class.
That's the next class. But today we're just going to talk about discipling. Discipling those who you witness. Of course, we know you can't disciple all who you witness. But how do you go about discipling those who need your witness? Okay. Hold on. Witnessing to those who need your discipleship.
Yeah. You picked that up from me.
And listen,
when you do this.
And I'm not cutting it out. This is raw.
That was funny, man.
Yeah. So, how do you witness?
He said the disciple to those who need your witness.
Yeah, right? I hope y'all get what I'm talking about.
I get what you're saying.
So, you can't disciple everyone, but how do you choose those who you disciple?
Well, before you even get to that, because I, for some reason, I think we're going to have a little disagreement on here.
We might.
But define for me what is discipleship.
Okay.
What do you think you don't have to give me like a academic answer, but
well, I'll just use us as an example.
Okay.
Okay, you witnessed to me, but not only did you witness to me, you took me under your wing. We had a lot of discussion about biblical things, as we know there's a lot of beliefs out there. But me and you talked a lot. You also helped me how to live out to be a Christian.
Okay.
You know, so you helped me walk out my theology, pointed me in the right places. But not only did you point me, you kind of took the journey with me, guiding me along the way.
Okay, so at which point is it witnessing and which point is it discipling?
Witnessing was at the beginning where I was making fun of your Bible.
That was witnessing?
No, I'm about to say I was making fun of your Bible.
Right.
And you was basically telling me the needs of being a Christian and Jesus dying on the cross and different things that we talked about. I can't go that back deep, but I know it helped.
Okay. So which point did it become the discipling?
When I got saved. So So I believe after I got saved, I believe we stepped into a new relationship.
Okay.
You know, when it came into Christianity, now you started to point me in the right places as far as doctrine and different things. And we grew together along that path. I know. You took, it's all right. We both went through some bad roads together. You know what I'm saying? But we learned in that journey. So in a nutshell, I believe discipling somebody is taking that journey along with them. You know, putting them in the best way you think is possible at that time. Right.
So what do you think are the key points or the key defining marks of discipleship? Like, what is needed for it to be discipleship?
Okay. I think one of the main things is making yourself available.
Okay.
So I see what I mean is I see a lot of leaders, they witness to a lot of people. They host home groups and, you know, whatever, and groups and stuff. But they don't have time outside those groups to really talk with people and guide them. Where as far as I may need something spiritually, and I have no one to go to, no guidance to go to, discipling that person would be that person to help them along that way and directing them in the right way.
All right, here's a question.
Hit me in.
Can you disciple somebody apart from the church?
I think you can. I don't think it should stay that way, but I think you can to a certain point. I think it should always end in a church. But my question is, should you decide, like, does it end in your church or in any church?
Good question.
Or, yeah, so that's my question.
That's your question to me?
That's my question to you.
Oh, now I gotta answer?
Yes, sir.
Well, I when I think of using this term discipleship, I can't help but think of, like, this, you know, can't think of, like, the Francis Chan Christian. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but, you know, Francis Chan and that kind of movement that follows him, and I'm not saying it's a bad way, but, like, you know, those, like, let's get back to churches as being, like, or houses as being churches.
Okay.
Like that kind of movement.
Okay. Okay.
When I think of discipleship, I mean, that's become a key phrase in there, in that movement, right? And it's like, go make disciples of all nations, which is good. It's biblical. But I feel like too many people have used that to mean, like have all these people under me, my care.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I don't think that's what Francis means by it. But I think that that's what a lot of people can use to make their kind of lone wolf Christianity. Okay. Like, you know, me and Jesus and
no one else.
Go save the world kind of thing.
Okay.
That's what I don't want discipleship to be. I think that every person has to be plugged in and an active member of a local church. Member. Not a frequent goer. Not an every weeker, but not committed because I'm not a member. A member of the church and has to be involved with every member of that person's family. And I think through the church should be where evangelism, discipleship, witnessing, and all that stems from. Like, that's the foundation of it. Mm-hmm. And then we as individual members walk, you know, go out as different parts of that body. And so when I was thinking of discipleship as we were talking about it in the last couple hours, I was thinking about how important it is that it needs to start from a minister. You know, the minister is discipling effectively his elders, his leadership. He may not have an individual discipleship type relationship with every member of the church, but it's got to start from the head down. And then
I agree.
The elders are discipling a number of members, and leaders discipling new members and things like that. And in the case that we were talking about with you and me, I felt that, you know, part of that was getting you plugged back into a church, which you did do pretty quickly. And then you jumped into it. You were involved actively. You were consumed with it, right? Like, that's what you're dependent on. Yeah. And so I definitely played a key role, but I wasn't also your only lifeline. I wasn't playing that pastoral role in your life because you had a pastor.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the only person helping you, guiding you, and things like that. You had the members and the leaders of that church doing it.
So can you have, but you can have more than one person discipling you. Am I right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's this pretty neat little job description that I think people try to put on it now. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to disciple this person. Like, it's not something that you sign up for, kind of thing. I think your primary goal for discipling others needs to be from in the church. So us as young adult men, we need to be grabbing onto a few younger adult men and you know, just prying into their lives, reading the Bible with them, studying with them, asking them how we can pray for them, and really praying for them, things like that, which I see that as being a type of discipleship. And those who God has brought in, new members of the church, new visitors, they should be consuming our time. You know what I mean? And you're probably different from me on this a little bit, but I see, you know, we should witness to those who are outside of the church and using that to bring them into a church. And then hopefully they'll be jumped on when they get there. And then you can have a working relationship with that person. And if it's a case like you and I, where I was a little more mature in my faith at the time than you were, then, you know, we can still keep that type of discipleship relationship. But now you have your church to be your primary form of where you're receiving it from. Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. And I do agree with it. And I now understand your question more because you used the Francis Chan thing about discipling, which we're not coming at Francis Chan. We love Francis Chan.
Yeah.
But
but I mean,
I understand that. And I know I feel like everybody should go to a church. You know, build and meet with the church. And, I mean, if we didn't have any of those churches, of course we would be, you know, having church in our house and stuff. Like, if church was, like, to meet at a congregation was, like, illegal or something, you know, we'd be doing that, you know, sneaking around, meeting up in somebody's house to have church.
But there would still be a pastor.
Yeah.
And there would still be elders. There would still be deacons.
There'd be leadership.
You know what I mean? Just like it was in the first century. And I think that's one thing that people forget when they read Chan and those types of people who are talking about get back to the house churches and things like that, is those first churches in the illegal century of Christianity still had like a form of church government. There were pastors, elders, deacons in every town, city, whatever. You know what I mean? It wasn't just go to the person with the biggest living room or something to that extent, which I've been guilty of because, you know, I thought, hey, you don't need a this and third. You can just do church yourself. And I guess my views have changed quite a bit on that since having thoroughly looked through it some more and seeing, you know, the value of God-ordained, you know, pastors and leaders.
So, what about, because, you know, you have so many people out there who say, oh, I don't want to go to a church, or the whole Christians are just hypocrites type things, but I'll sit down and read the Bible with you. Would you take your time to disciple them at your home if they don't want to be, you know, like for example, my mom, when she started going back to church, she didn't trust pastors. So if my dad fought tooth and nail just to get her through the doors because she didn't trust pastors.
Right.
So how do you, obviously he had to do some discipleship home, you know, but besides her being the wife, how do you treat a friend like that who won't step inside of a church?
I mean, I think that's just the work of God if you begin witnessing to them. And yeah, that's what I said, the lines are kind of blurred. Where does it become where does witnessing end and discipleship begin? It's like kind of, there's no, this is the end and that's the beginning. But I think if you're truly witnessing effectively to somebody, not on your own doing, but if God is truly doing the work of conversion there, that will be something that follows. I just, you know, the sheep will follow the master, you know what I mean? And if they don't, then perhaps their heart's still hardened and you still just preach the gospel to them. But that's got to come with understanding that the church is the bride. And if you are truly following Christ, you are a part of that bride. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And if someone cannot accept that for whatever reason, that signs of still being unregenerate, in my opinion.
Okay.
And you wouldn't necessarily be discipling an unregenerate person. Still be witnessing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the difference. Witnessing is to the unsaved. Discipleship is to the saved. And that can happen through various things. You know what I mean? If a person isn't willing to say their view on homosexuality is skewed, and they're like, look, I agree with everything you're saying, but that, and I'm not going to turn on that at all. I don't believe you're talking to necessarily a person who's truly been fully converted.
Okay.
Whatever that means. If it's a new person, like, yeah, listen, I'm liking everything you're saying. This Jesus guy sounds good, but I can't, you know what I mean? Can't get with this other thing.
Okay.
You still need to preach the gospel to that person.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be getting into deeper things if they still are stuck on elementary.
Yeah, and that would be basically
witnessing.
Okay, so that's good. So witnessing is for the unsaved, and discipleship is for the saved.
My opinion.
Okay, and that's a good opinion. I agree with that opinion. So the whole goal of discipling is to plug them into a church where they can be discipled by the congregation.
Yeah, I mean, the natural flow of the congregation.
Okay.
You know, either leadership, elders, other, you know, mature members, That needs to be the lifeblood, man. I mean, like if we talk about, you know, living in that Acts type of church, their family was a part of each other. I mean, they went over each other's houses daily. They were taking care of each other daily. And I know a lot of people today, they'll go to a service on Sunday, but then the rest of the week, they're just out there doing their own Christianity. You know what I mean? They're out there trying to do everything by themselves and then go back to church on Sunday and do that little service, and then that's their refuel, and then they go back and do their own thing. That's not how it's supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to be witnessing through daily life, you know what I mean? But the church is completely intertwined with every aspect of that. You know what I mean?
I agree. And I think that
I mean, so for instance, if you and me get a little distant at work with our with our deep studies and stuff like that, it's okay because you would be completely involved with your church, and I would be and I'd be like, man, we just be so exhausted that we you know, we just don't got the time, but it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, because I'm still plugged in into a good church,
right?
And that's supposed to be discipling me,
and then that church should be doing its own works of witnessing,
okay,
its own works of reaching out to the lost.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where Ant doesn't have to feel like he has to go out 3 times a week for 2 hours of time just to get any type of witnessing. The church should be actively involved in that. You should be actively involved in that when you go to the grocery store. You know what I mean? And so, all that to say is, I think discipling should start from the church.
Okay.
And yeah, there might be different circumstances, but I think that's where it needs to be flow from.
And I think that's good. And so, how would you say so you're discipling me, you plug me into a church. In my eyes, especially in the beginning, even though I'm being discipled by the church, you're like, in my eyes, like the go-to guy. Because in my eyes, you was that person that plugged me in, you know? So it's like, what you say to me is like, reliable, or it could even to new Christians hold more weight than the actual pastors. So how do we get to the point where we could just really start Like, we make that transition.
Well, I know you're not talking about us now because you never took anything I said for...
I did, but I'm weird. Listen, I'm very weird because I'll ask you, like, I'll ask you an opinion or something. I'll ask 10 yeah, other people.
I know
that. But
know.
Just know that, you know, my faith in you is very confident because when I did go ask other people, they said the same
thing. Why do you know we're not all wrong?
I hope you're not all wrong. And I do my own study, but I also, you know, I hope you're not all wrong because I would really stink.
Nah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, I wouldn't say get some connected and then cut them off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If it's like you and me, I seen you 8 hours a day at work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't we be reading the scriptures together? Mm-hmm. Or wouldn't we be doing all this stuff? So it's not a matter of that. I'm just talking about in general, like. If let's say you're truly witnessing, so you run you run into someone you don't know, and you're just like, "Hey, man, can I talk to you about God?" Boom, they're interested. All right, here's my number. Let's get together. Let's have some lunch. All right, we have some lunch together. Now we're kind of building this little relationship where I'm starting to talk to them. Do you know about God? Do you know about Jesus? How do you get to heaven? That, you know, just talking to them, that becomes witnessing. They start, you know. They keep following. Oh man, it's great. Hey, have you checked out any churches in your area? No, I wasn't quite sure about that. Well, let me tell you what church is. This and the third. Here, I found some good churches that maybe you can go visit. Check them out. Hey, Jimbo, you know, I checked out that church you sent me, and it was really great. Man, I think I'm going to go back to it. Oh, praise God. You talked to the pastor? Oh, yeah, we're going to meet up. Da, da, da. Now you're kind of handed the baton off. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now, if it's someone like that, yeah, why don't you reach out to them every so often? Get back up for lunch. Connect.
Yeah.
Things like that. But that, now he's plugged in to the source. You know what I mean? He's an active member of the bride.
I know sometimes that I've witnessed other people, like, bring in people to be discipled by the church, bring in new members. And I know that they brought them in and they just, like, dumped them off. You know, like they brought him. You eat my trail mix. You keep the trail mix from me, and sorry, then you eat it on the side. You can't handle trail mix either.
Damn, and that was looking good.
Don't touch my Pepsi.
Sorry, you was coming though.
So,
I mean the Shrek.
So, but yeah, so I've seen people bring in new members, and also like just like kind of dump them off, you know, and then.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like it. I've even reached out to those people that they brought in. Like, I like spend time talking to them at church,
yeah, well, that's, and cafe, see, and stuff. And that's like what I should do. That, I mean, that could convert into longer term discipleship.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But how do you disciple somebody who you're not with all the time?
Okay.
How do you disciple somebody who you're not with for years? I mean,
yeah.
Let's say
you disciple, like a Paul and Timothy type thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, even us. I mean, if I would have got a job after you just connected to your church or you just converted or whatever, and maybe, let's say I worked at a local group home, and
okay.
I only came down at the Woodbine Dances, and that's the only time I ever seen you, I couldn't still be discipling you. Even if I say, yo, man, you still reading the Bible? Hey, man, you still doing this? That's not discipleship.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not. So to actually effectively disciple a life, you have to be in that life. Okay. I seen you 5 days, 4 days a week, whatever it was, for 8 hours a day. I was able to fulfill that role for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what a pastor's supposed to be like. You know what I mean? That's what elders are supposed to do. I mean, churches aren't to be hopped around at. You know what I mean? They're a local geographic body of believers
mm-hmm.
that you should be in close relationship with as long as you can. You know what I mean? Obviously, circumstances change, but imagine having the same pastor for 40 years.
Yeah.
That can be some fruitful discipleship.
Okay.
Being with an elder for 20 years.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That they can see you grow. They can see my, I mean, I've only been in my church for a year and a half, and they've seen my family grow from a family of four to a family of five already. You know what I mean? Imagine if I didn't have no kids and I went from zero to one.
Okay.
They were able to walk me through that transition. They're able to see me grow, my family grow, things change. And then they can actually be effective in their changes and what they helping me with in my life. Okay. You know what I mean?
So, another question. When does... Okay, so when you witness to somebody, who do you know to disciple? Like, because, you know, we witness to... We witness to a lot of people through...
Well, I don't think this question has anything to do with witnessing.
No, well, I'm saying, like... Just how do you... how do you choose, or how do you know that you're supposed to disciple this person? Does it just happen, or is like you...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, one, you're supposed to be trying to make a close connection with everybody in your church, right?
Yeah.
As your family, so I personally reach out to everybody as often as I can. I mean, I'm not in their inbox every day, but I try to rotate them, and I don't try just one person.
Okay.
And there's going to be certain people who just kind of gravitate towards you, who show interest in being discipled and wanting to open up their lives. And you just kind of, to me, I think you just kind of take it as it's offered to you.
You know what I
mean? I'm offering to be involved with every person in my church. You know what I mean? We're all family. Let's be open. You know about my life. I know about your life. Let's do that. And in return, there's going to be some people who are just like, look, like, hey, man, how's it going? But they don't really want to tell you anything deep.
Okay.
And then there's going to be people who are like, yeah, look, let's do it. You know what I mean? Let's meet up. Let's talk. I'm going to tell you this. And then, you know, you kind of start to see those things.
And you're able to sow into their life.
Yeah, like seeds. It definitely has to. I mean, it's not something that you have to consciously be about.
Mm-hmm.
I am discipling this person. Let me write down everybody I'm discipling.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about earlier in the show with this whole Francis Chan analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people's gotten from him. I don't think that's what he's saying, but people get from him like, oh, I have to have 8 discipled people I'm discipling.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I do kind of get that too.
Yeah. And it doesn't, I don't think it necessarily goes that way. I think you just need to actively be trying to help everyone grow that's around you.
And of course, different people in the church can disciple in different areas in our life, right? Like the
body. Yeah. I mean, for instance, if pastor was trying to do that with every single person, he wouldn't pastor well.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He'd be stressed way too thin. So there's definitely, because of roles and limits and positions you play, that God has brought you to, it's going to affect all those things.
Okay. That was a good answer.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Humble Jimbo. This guy is really humble, you know? And, you know, I just learned that, you know, throughout a lot of my Christian life, it's been just the two of us, you know? We walk this road. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Bro, you know we're still recording?
Yeah.
You've been saying a lot on this episode.
Remember you discipled me about prophesying? For all the reform folk out there.
Cut. Same. Hey, you wanna read that note in your Bible?
No.
Trying to put me under the bus.
There's a note in my Bible. It's a sweet reminder.
He longs for you.
Oh man, listen, I would have been
the pain you felt.
I would have been bigger than Benny Hinn.
The pain you felt. The pain you
felt. It was. I'm not even gonna say it. You realize the criticism we would get?
Yeah, don't say
but
that.
But I bet you we'll get 100 amen.
We'll lose like 3 listeners.
Right? Ain't nobody listening.
Not right now, but I mean just overall.
Oh man. Well listen, we're not even gonna get into the reminiscence.
Nah, so don't bring that up, man.
No, I had to bring that one up.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there was something else.
Hey man, I tried.
Oh man, but everybody, it was. You answered every one of my questions, and it was. I'm speechless.
Thank you.
I literally am. You got anything?
Nah, man. I think we kind of fully circled this thing.
That was good, and maybe the next episode we could really get into how, what does discipling actually look like.
Maybe we'll put a vote out there for the people.
That's good. Put the burden on them.
Yeah. You tell us what we're talking about.
Right?
All right, guys.
Well, listen, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Brian Broadcast. But the Bereans are out.